The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
In time and reflect into our minds. Back to the olden days, it was tough in many ways. They used to cook in iron pots with three legs upon rocks. Toting wood to make fire was hard. Most people had to cook in the yard. Shucking corn was no thrill. We had to grind it in a mill. We put it in a fanner and sift. That's how we made yellow grits. Now if you feel like talking,
let's talk, let's talk.
And you don't mind walking,
we walking, we walking, we walking. Let's take a walk.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Today is going to be an open line Tuesday the 24th of September, 2024, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. As you can see, you got lots to talk about, water and sewerage, works underway to address concerns at CV Bethel, taxi price gouge, fare over gas margin rise. Before we get there, we got a whole bunch of happy birthdays in the house. First of all, as a nation, let us all raise our hands and say happy belated birthday to Holly Knowles. Holly Knowles is celebrating 100 years this year, and I think she had her birthday either yesterday or this week. We all say happy birthday, Auntie Holly Knowles, and we're glad you're still with us. Now, the 24th of September is a very, very, very special day in my family. First of all, we got to say Mr. Newry, what do you call when do you say happy birthday to someone who's passed away? Like, what's the official term for that?
I don't know.
Well, today is the birthday of my maternal grandmother, Corinne Mitchell. She passed away many years ago. She didn't like us to talk her age, and we're not going to talk the years. She has passed away from us, but we know that she is sitting under the pear tree with Uncle Stephen, with Aunt Helen, with Lisa, with all the family, loved ones, and Clara. Anyway, we missing y'all. I have to say happy birthday to my sister, Corey Green Lambert, who celebrates her birthday on the same day as Corinne Mitchell. And another posthumous happy birthday to the one LeVar Pratt. From all your family, your Johnson Road family, your boating, fishing family and community, all of your loved ones. And I know Corinne Mitchell grab you by the ear and pull you under the pear tree. I say happy belated birthday to my good cousin, Michelle Shelley Smith Mitchell. She is not with us because she don't live in the Bahamas, but she is in Florida having a wonderful, wonderful time. I also want to say happy birthday to a very special auntie of mine, Aunt Carol Hannah from the Hannah Hasty Tynes family. And we send a grand happy birthday from the HHT Executive Committee. Thank you, Texter. He sends out a happy, happy birthday as well to everyone. We also want to say happy birthday to Brian C. Knowles, another HHT cousin. And then, of course, from the Guardian family, Mr. Newry, we say happy birthday in advance, one day early, to Janet Lees.
Happy birthday, Janet Lees.
In the marketing department, Janet always keeps us sweetened up with the most wonderful pastries, desserts, cakes, pies. It's always a wonderful time when Janet has her hands in the baker, in the oven. Anyway, if you celebrating a birthday today, your loved one is celebrating a birthday today, send us a text at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's the text line, powered as always by BTC. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. Producer, we could go to the phone line. I wanted to talk a bit about traffic this morning after noticing yesterday on my way home. I had to detour because there seemed to be a bad accident at Shirley Street and Peck Slope and Market Street intersections. Producer, let's go phone line anytime. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to both of you.
Morning, morning, ma'am.
I heard you talking about your grandmother. Well, my mother's birthday would have been today as well, but she's also deceased 20
yes.
years ago.
Yes, ma'am. Well, what's her name? And let us celebrate her life.
Well, she was Kathleen Dorfitt.
Okay. Thank you.
What is her maiden name?
Even though she's not here, I'm remembering her fondly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll continue to listen.
No, before you go, what was her maiden name? I just celebrated in certain
Hilton. Hilton.
Okay. Okay. Awesome.
Kathleen Hilton Dorfitt.
Okay. All right. How do you celebrate the birthday of a loved one who has passed? Do you go to the gravesite? Do you have a small like altar, like where you keep all the obituaries, and you have a moment of silence?
But not to answer your question, not really, you know, because I'm one. I do all that I can for you when you're here.
Mm-hmm.
In the twilight years, of course, we had to take care of her because she did come down with mild Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So she got good care. Our family was constantly around her. I remember her. She did the best coconut tart mm-hmm. in the whole world.
Okay.
And so, therefore, as I sit here today and I'm remembering her, very fond memories, but they will continue to live on.
Absolutely.
As I'm sure others would as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day, ma'am. Have a wonderful day. So, yeah. There was an accident on Shirley Street, Peck Slope, Market Street intersection, which forced me to detour and go back through town. I like to take Peck Slope as a quick route through town, avoiding the delays and backups caused by all manner of things, non-attentive drivers, non-attentive pedestrians, non-attentive police officers. But yesterday I couldn't. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Because both Peck Slope and Market Street were blocked by a vehicle and a tow truck. When we get back from this call, I'm going to tell you what interesting thing I saw at the scene. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Well, you called a name just now when you were talking about your Grammy. I know it's not his birthday today,
mm-hmm.
but he was a gentleman, a Mount gentleman.
Yes, sir.
Between people like him and Dr. Bernard Norridge drove me to be what I am today. Dario Mitchell.
Yes, sir.
Real man.
Yes, sir.
Real man. I just want to comment on that. He is a gentleman amongst gentlemen. If we could get about 20 more of them around here,
mm-hmm.
we could start the Pendleton Army again.
You know what I appreciate most is his commitment to St. Matthew's Church and the Anglican, I think, Men's Council.
Yeah.
And bringing men together with, you know, under the banner of Christ.
But can I tell you what I liked about him a lot?
Yes, sir.
His honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Was very honest.
Mm-hmm.
I was a part, well, I was one of those who started the program that the CDR with him and Dr. Nordenstam.
Yes.
And he was very honest. You couldn't pull nothing on him in that meeting.
Good stuff.
You know, he's a good man, good man. And I remember passing the police barracks, passing, he's sitting on the porch and get his leg crossed and
mm-hmm.
just living it up.
Yeah.
Yes, but I just wanted to say, ma'am, when you call his name, it just put a little trench in my heart just now.
Absolutely.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
I can continue listening.
Thank you. I hope his children and grandchildren tuning in as well. If
yes,
they are not, I can make sure.
When we pass that porch, he's sitting on that porch, boy, and he, you know,
mm-hmm.
yes, cheering you on.
Yes, sir.
Especially those Labor Day parades and those different parades.
Yes, sir.
You know, Yes, ma'am. But be good.
Thank you. I have to, because look at all them watching, waiting for me under the pear tree. You got to try. Anyway, so yesterday, as I was changing lanes to now head westbound on Shirley Street, a vehicle that came up Market Street into the left lane forced its way in front of the right lane of traffic. And then when our light turned green, they attempted to access Market Street. To access Market Street, they had to take their whole car up on the sidewalk to drive around the tow truck. And in these moments, I just wonder, how did they get the license? Do they have a license? And why is there never a police officer around to stop and stop these drivers and confiscate their vehicles from them when they are, what the young people like to say, cutting movies on the road? Another note before we get into some texts and this water and sewage story. I just want to remind Bahamian drivers, particularly corporate and commercial drivers, taxi drivers, livery and limo drivers, but in particular corporate drivers and state actors, people driving government cars with logos from government agencies on them. Do you know how easy it is to identify you as a driver? Just generally on the road. How easy it is to identify you when you commit a traffic offense. But how easy it is to identify you when, in response to somebody blowing their horn, because you almost hit their car, you decide to pull your car on the side of the road to see who's messing with you. Do you know how easy it is to call the Department of Environmental Health and identify you via the vehicle you were driving? You know how easy it is to call BPL and identify you through the job that you were on? Do you know how easy it is to call water and sewage and identify you? Do you know how easy it is to call Aqua Pure, the water company you work for, and identify you? These people are out here driving these vehicles with as if they have impunity, like they have a diplomatic license to kill on the road, to injure, to harm. And then when you point out to them how easy it is to identify them, then you become acutely aware that they are empowered by the corporate culture that they work in. That they know that their boss doesn't care. But you are the corporate and commercial drivers. You have the blue and white plates. You got the yellow and black plates. You got the red and white plates. You've got your logos emblazoned all over your vehicles. And then when people talk about a D is not satisfactory, you have no idea what they're talking about. Further, to attempt to victimize somebody in your easily identified vehicle, but the young people say that's dirty work. That's madness. And to get upset when people follow the course of action that they should follow in instances like these, you become belligerent. Something wrong here, Bahamas. People are not stopping at red lights. They're driving through lights in the middle of the cycle. Mackey Street and Shirley Street is still plagued by vehicles turning right on red. The Royal Bahamas Police Force Road Traffic Division has never followed up on the statement made by former superintendent and formerly in charge of road traffic, superintendent, who indicated that when they became aware of the law, they determined that they still ain't gonna enforce it. There's been no follow-up on that. There's something seriously wrong here. And somebody, the insurance industry, the auto dealerships, some sector of society needs to step up and not just address it, but cause this to shift? How many tourists have to be killed or severely injured in traffic accidents for this to matter to us? I still haven't read, I wanted to read it verbatim, the story from 2 weeks ago now, West Bay Street, a vehicle owned by a senior judge. The article does not indicate who was driving the vehicle, is involved in an accident. A young man dies as a result of the accident. The article indicates that the driver felt a bump at the front of the vehicle, which suggests that they hit someone with the front of their vehicle. We've heard nothing of it since the Guardian and Tribune articles. We are not taking this seriously. One article, one press statement, the first thing they say is the boy wasn't wearing a helmet. What are you trying to suggest or imply? The most important part of that article is the driver indicates that they felt a bump at the front of their vehicle. When are we going to start to take this seriously? And are we going to transition? Texas says if they run a red light, cane them. I'm almost at that point, Texter. They don't want to lock them up, but how you can cane them? They don't want to lock them up. The police don't want to lock you up for something that they want to do, that they are doing. All right, here's another text. Great show as usual. I want to know who plan on paving these roads, Miss Green, the Bahamas government in bed with the U.S. and sweetheart in China. Could I write either of them a letter to assist on paving our roads? Don't give us no more stadium. The texter says if we're going to engage in these governmental loans, do something we need. Fix the roads. Texter said yesterday I was on Prince Charles in the turning lane to Fox Hill. No one behind me. About three cars ahead. A man pulled beside me in the westbound lane. Traffic was light. Would you believe this man made the turn into Fox Hill and tried to bully his way in front of me? I'm baffled. They do this on Shirley Street heading into town as well. No matter how little traffic there is, crazy people still try to bully their way in front of right-of-way traffic. I want you to know that we no longer understand what the right-of-way means. See, at the very top, they no longer understand what the rule of law means. On the road, we don't no longer understand what the right of way means. In our homes and communities, we no longer understand what consent and bodily autonomy and authority means. All of these things are linked. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. Long Island still does not have banking facilities today. It is desperate. I believe that money printed by our government should be legally available throughout the Bahamas. Facilitating trade in hard currency in Long Island should be a priority of government. Digital banking should only be optional and not forced like it is happening in the Family Islands. What's your opinion? Dear Text, I'm gonna tell you what my opinion is. I think it is a crime to force residents to rely on online banking in jurisdictions that don't even have the most minimal infrastructure. I think this is a foolish game that we are playing, where we are driving Bahamians into a digital future without ensuring that the digital infrastructure necessary to operate exists. They can't even manage water and power distribution in the Family Islands. And they've jumped on a project as big as this. So I say to all my conspiracy theorists, all of my people concerned about the Great Reset, about technology being used to control our lives. Well, it's the lack of technology that's being used to control our lives. And we should be demanding, forget banking. How is it that only one company brings in more than two gas stoves per shipment in a country where they can't keep the power on, they can't regulate the distribution of current so as not to damage all of the equipment and appliances in your home. But the whole Bahamas just, oh, I got an electric oven that I can't use at Christmas because you know the power going to go off in 35% of districts on the island. But residents and citizens have to organize themselves, organize their thoughts, organize their strategy, and to respond to the government. You guys keep electing these people. You refuse to form other parties. You refuse to form civil society organizations. For instance, I just learned that the Financial Services Ombudsman also, their work also covers banking services for ordinary payments. Did we even know that? I figured they should, but I just was able to confirm it. Did you know that we have a Financial Services Ombudsman? Did you know that your engagement with the banks locally is also a part of their remit? But Long Island, I'm still not sure that you have consistent and regulated access to electricity. And when I say regulated, what I mean is that the current is distributed at a regulated rate. It's not price I'm talking about. See, I come in from the perspective where I live in a community that was not properly constructed infrastructure-wise. And so the power fluctuates, and you can see it. The lights flicker all the time. Thank you, Texter. Got a text here that says, great show as usual. With all due respect, no Bahamian will be interested in no investigation December 31st. We would be into gifts from John Bull and ham and turkey and junk canoe. I saw that story. Texter. Let's turn to that story. Monroe says he can't confirm if police probe findings would be made public. National Security Minister Wayne Monroe said he could not confirm whether the findings of a police corruption probe linked to voice notes would be publicized. Quote, I am not involved in the investigation, and so I cannot confirm any aspects of it, close quotes. It's at this moment I want to ask, is this Wayne Monroe, the Minister of National Security, or is this Wayne Monroe, defense attorney? Producer, let's go to the phone line. You cannot tell us if the results of the probe will be publicized because you're not involved in any aspect of the investigation, sir. Sir, I'm going to go to the phone line so I can catch my breath and my words because they're going to fall out. I don't want them to fall out. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, this is the GNN.
Yes, sir.
You ain't send me your number yet, man. There's a lot of good stuff I need to send you, you know.
I forget. Don't watch nothing. I forget.
Okay. Listen, I'm Wayne Monroe. I real talk, as Bahamians and been around a little while, 51 years in this political system, Wayne Monroe is a dismal failure. You understand? Now, who he think he's the Minister of National Security? He don't realize that we know he's here weekly.
No, we don't know. Oh, you mean weekly briefings. Okay. We know that.
That he gets weekly briefings on the stats of the country with his portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Who he think he talking to? But he ain't know nothing.
But it's not just that. This is not whether the results, the report of the results of the investigation would be publicized has nothing to do with the investigation itself. That's something they discuss in cabinet. That's not something that's a national security risk that he cannot be aware. That's a discussion that he should be taking part in.
Thank you very much. That comes on directly on his portfolio, on his remit.
I mean, they
just come to the radio and they just tell the nation a lie, and you got people that believe them.
You know what they say? It's better to be thought a fool than proven a crook.
Listen, Eric, another thing. Over the years, I've been watching governments tax middle class and poor people out of this world, off this planet. Because rich people don't pay tax. Hike the price and stuff in these stores, so mean you pay the taxes for them. So the middle class and the poor, we got to take the burden of tax. But you know, the scripture said way back then, you know, king, when Jesus asked the kingdom, who you get your tax from? And the king says, get my tax from the strangers in the land. We got 10 million tourists coming. If we tax them $1 a week, 10 million tourists, that's $10 million a week.
They already employing that strategy, GNNN?
They must need the tax up for $2 and take some of the tax burden of the poor people, because they look like they're trying to get us to go back to
tax them $15 now.
Mud floor and push out window.
Every tourist that comes here, we tax $15.
And so the question...
You must need a tax on 30.
No.
You
pause.
Don't want them come here, man.
Pause. Consider this. It's the allocation of tax-derived revenue that is what we should be considering, right? Before we consider how much more we could take from the tourists.
Yeah, because we this the sponge where they squeeze in the called local people, man. We tearing apart, not even getting more water in us.
It's No, we're not broke. We're not broke, right? We are broken, but we could fix it. We can adapt and adjust and maximize what it is we do have access to, because here is the truth. We, the citizenry, are also not maximizing the potential, right? Not reaching the maximum potential of what it is we have available to us. That's not to discount what we started talking about, right? We are broken. We're not broke. We can fix ourselves. For instance, we sit and we complain that we can't go to the restaurant to enjoy the food all the other people are enjoying without acknowledging that it's actually less expensive to make the food at home.
I totally agree with you.
But like
I
say,
topic for another day.
Right. That does not discount the fact that we Bahamians don't have a problem paying taxes. But after decades of paying taxes without seeing the return on investment promised, without achieving any of the goals that the taxes were supposed to achieve, we become wary of paying taxes. We become wary of paying taxes in a system that will not hold politicians and state actors to account and ensure that they declare. And the proof of declaration is in the gazetting. It's not in the leader of the opposition saying that all of his members have declared. Until it is gazetted, then no one has declared.
Okay, thanks for taking my call, Yato.
No, man, thank you, GNN. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to the text line. Morning, Lady Green. The digital platform for the Bahamas does not provide the proper facility to operate professionally 100%. Why are we always taking advantage of Bahamians? Electricity and now water taxes come in. We are listening in Grand Bahama. I'm glad you're listening, because you miss out communication services and internet service providers. You missed out regulating that industry for consumer protection, right? We don't have a guarantee of net neutrality. I could tell you right now where I live is considered a lesser area by the company that provides services to me. And the response has been over the years, maybe move to the moon. You'll be closer to the satellite. You get a better signal. Right? It's I have a friend that moved here and couldn't keep a job for a remote job for 2 years because she could not, no matter where she lived on the island, maintain a steady enough internet signal to fulfill her obligations. Here's another text. Erin, I am so afraid of my country, particularly what is happening in Nassau. Persons are just driving recklessly. Clubs allegedly owned by police officers are allowed to disturb the neighborhood peace. Crime is out of order. Citizens are being taxed out of their heads. It just seems a free-for-all. I am so frustrated with this government that I voted for. Here's, and share some, somebody stopped me on the road, and this is what they said to me. They said, Green, when I started listening to you, I thought you was like just another hysterical woman. You're smart, but you're still hysterical, right? So you'd be talking about these things, and I know you're smart, but I brush it off. He said, but after the incident with the voice notes, the person came to find me to say to me, Green, I get it. I understand why you appeared hysterical to me. He said, I'm a businessman, deeply concerned about crime. And now I find out it appears the criminals are robbing because they have to pay the police. He said, I get it. He said, I get it. Many of us are deeply concerned. But what concerned me before that matter is watching police officers watch drivers break traffic controls and not. Like, that's the easiest thing to do. I would have thought that's the best job on the force. I get to drive around all day and interact with people and give them tickets and drive revenue. It's like last week when Wayne Monroe said that officers are approaching him requesting assistance. They want the Minister of National Security to facilitate them being removed from frontline policing.
Because they're afraid.
Because they're afraid that the coroner's court is now operating. And it turns out that police officers are also held to account in a properly functioning system. All right, another text. Dear Erin, concerning the accident that claimed the life of the young cyclist. I'm not going to read those words because we don't know. All we know is the article, the Tribune article, indicated that it was a vehicle belonging to a judge. Text goes on to say, I watched a live report streamed on a major news station when the incident happened, and during the stream, the police officers instructed the reporters on scene not to show the license plate of the judge's vehicles. Additionally, when the police gave a press briefing immediately after, they indicated that the driver had signaled before turning on West Bay Street and felt a bump, and it seems as if this case was opened and closed on the scene. I think that this story needs to be further investigated because, after all, that was a government issued vehicle and a young man lost his life. By the way, everyone on the live saw the license plate number of said vehicle. Their text, I can look for that live myself and see if it's still up. Anyway, all I know is what I read in the Guardian and Nassau Tribune articles. We're going to a break. In this break, call your loved one and tell them happy birthday. Even if their birthday was in March, call them, tell them happy birthday, and you're looking forward to cake. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
You mean to tell me there's a whole year that's passed? But I'll be. Listen. First thing what I can do, get on my knees and thanking you, Lord. God, you brought me through a rocky road. Last year I was so scared, crashed my car and almost dead. I even break my leg, but I am still yet to see that my birthday. Come again, my birthday. Come again, my birthday.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is. For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Are you tired of the same old 5K runs? Want something more? Then get ready for the Chick Charney Challenge City Run on September 28th, starting at Crypto Wild. Test your strength, stamina, and spirit. It takes all of you to dodge, climb, conquer obstacles as you race through the heart of the city. Lace up and get to the Chick Charney Challenge City Run. Register now on our website, chickcharneychurn.com, or on our social media pages. Brought to you by Kalina, Island Yogurt, Advantage Insurance, Art of Graphics, Crypto Wild, and Guardian Radio 96.9.
My birthday, come again. My birthday, come again. My birthday, come again. So I can party all night. Rick and strip, this Bahamian. Rick and strip, my birthday. Rick and strip, yeah, come yeah. Rick and strip, man, this Bahamian. Rick and strip, my birthday. Rick and strip. Rick God, I just missed a call. It was Island Lock, my ass done fall. I catch a straight four ball, so you know it's going down. I gangle up myself, man. I don't care what no one else. Boy, take them bottles off the shelf. Do you know that it's my birthday? Come again.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. So I am actively trying to pull up the Royal Bahamas Police Force crime report. I can read just from the Tribune article. That's what I have on hand right now. I'm reading from the article because I brought it up. I got the article at hand. Young motorist dies in crash at Go Slow Bend. A motorcyclist believed to be in his teens was killed after being in collision with a vehicle belonging to a senior judge. The victim became the 54th traffic fatality of the year. Chief Superintendent of Police Chris Lynn Skipping said the driver of a black Ford Explorer was traveling north on West Bay Street near Coral Drive. When he activated his left indicator to turn into the Western Seaview parking lot, she said the driver felt an impact on the front of his vehicle as he attempted to turn. The motorcyclist then crashed into a gate on the western side of the street, losing his life. CSP Skipping's urged bike operators to wear the proper gear and ensure their bikes are licensed. She said it was too early to determine who was at fault in the crash. End of sentence. Well, time has passed, and we await the results of this investigation. I also would like to ask,
perhaps the minister will say that the investigation won't be made public. The conclusion of this, because it seems as if he tends to interject a lot and say things like that.
I mean, but how could he in this particular matter? This is something that could be secret, confidential, hidden.
None of the investigation should be confidential, hidden, eh?
At all. I agree with you there.
Yeah, but he can make a pronouncement.
I agree with you. Look at the crime report page.
Mm-hmm. Blank.
There's no crime report on it at all. Let's go back to the text line.
I want you to read something. I was going to save it for my part of the show.
Yeah, sure.
No. I want you to go to my home page. But I might be quicker. You can read it from my page, right, Jeff? I'll try to bring it up quicker. I want you to list a number of names for me. Try quickly. There's one name I have identified, and I want you to hold it. As soon as you list the name,
mm-hmm.
go back to the article regarding Wayne Monroe referencing the probe. And I might discuss it on my part of the show, but I want you to just call the names off.
All the names?
All the names off, and then stop to the name I have highlighted.
All right, so the title is
go ahead,
Transfers.
Yeah.
With Chief Superintendent Marlon Fulford. Complaints and Corruptions Branch to Cable Beach Division.
He's moving to the Cable Beach Division.
Right.
Go ahead.
Chief Superintendent David Lockhart, Police Tribunal to Prosecutions Division.
He's moving to the Prosecutions.
Right. Chief Superintendent Sabrina Porter is being transferred from Cable Beach Division to Complaints and Corruption Branch.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Superintendent Sharia King is being transferred from Eastern Division to Northwestern Division.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Superintendent Marcus Sands from Northwestern Division to Eastern Division.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Superintendent Ezra Maycock, Northeastern Division to Southern Division.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Superintendent Dwight Smith, Fox Hill Division to South Central Division.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Superintendent Tess Newbold, Southeastern Division to Southwestern Division.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Superintendent David Cox, Legal Office to Disciplinary Tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Superintendent Christopher Miners, Southwestern Division to Southeastern Division.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Superintendent Anton Ramming, Anti-Gang and Firearms Unit to OIC Criminal Investigations Department.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Superintendent Michael Johnson.
What? Say it again.
Chief Superintendent Michael Johnson, Criminal Investigations Department to Police Headquarters.
Let's stop right there.
Hold on, Commissioner's Office.
See, let's stop right there.
Is that what garden leave means?
See, let's stop. No, see, you got to understand, this is a new announcement. This is just came out. And when you have this juxtaposed to the Minister of National Security's utterance to saying that we ain't going to make this thing more likely, he don't know, it can be public. This suggests the investigation has been concluded regarding the corruption allegation. Read the headline for the Minister.
Says he can't confirm if police probe findings would be made public.
And which police probe findings are we talking about there? This is the corruption probe, or alleged corruption probe, regarding Michael Johnson.
And prompted him being placed on garden leave.
Right.
And garden leave is the leave that you've given up to your retirement or leaving the force. It suggests that you're not coming back to work.
No. We're just depending on investigation, depending on the definition you use. The idea is the for him to be transferred, it means that the investigation is no longer pending. It has been concluded. And that he is now being transferred to work. Where he's going to be transferred? To work where? Read that again. Where he's going to be? Chief Superintendent Michael Johnson will now be transferred where? To work with
police headquarters, commissioner's office.
At the police headquarters, he'll be working in the commissioner's office. That means he's going to be working closely with the commissioner of police. And then you hear the Minister of National Security say, maybe, perhaps, he doesn't know, even though despite he gets briefing, even though the prime minister has announced this is of national significance, that we need to bring in outside entities to help because it's of national importance. This investigation is so significant. It's of national importance. Then now the minister come back later on and say, I ain't sure that the public is going to be aware. But we know the conclusion so far. The conclusion is the chief superintendent is now being transferred to work in the headquarters. What does that say about transparency? What does that say about the Bahamian public? What does that say about what the minister is saying to us? What are we demanding? What should we be expecting? Why should we be concerned? I am concerned. I am concerned about the minister because we're always critiquing him, right? Because he's a brilliant guy. But when he start talking foolishness to us, we need to be offended and start pushing back and say, I don't think this is appropriate, sir, for what you are saying to us, mm-hmm. especially when we are concerned about the entire police force being corruptible. When the entire police force is being corruptible and the police, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas saying that we are concerned. That's why we're bringing in these foreign entities, because we don't want the Bahamian people lose faith in the police force. And then to come and flippantly say, man, I don't think they plan to even let you know anything.
Yeah.
So your concerns, which you had, ain't important to me, to them, to even come back to you. But I can tell you he transferred already and he's straight.
But, I mean, he didn't tell us that.
No,
somebody tell us.
See, someone's saying that.
Now, I've got two definitions for garden leave. The first says it's suspended. The term originated in the British Civil Service, where employees had the right to request special leave for exceptional purposes. Gardening leave became a euphemism for suspended, as an employee who was formally suspended pending an investigation into their conduct would often request to be out of the office on special leave instead. The second definition says garden leave is the practice whereby an employee leaving a job, having resigned, or otherwise had their employment terminated, is instructed to stay away from work during the notice period while still remaining on the payroll. So those are two different
So, in long and short, he was suspended pending investigation, getting paid while he was home. And now, from this announcement,
Is this an announcement or is this just a doc?
It's an announcement.
Oh, okay.
It's an announcement that he is now transferred to police headquarters to work in the Commissioner of Police office, whatever that means, right? I would assume now that the investigation has been concluded, right? Because you don't transfer people when you're still investigating, right? And the one must assume that it has been concluded. And then when you put that juxtaposed to what the minister is saying, the prime minister, the Bahamian people need to be concerned because now that we already have frustration about being, what the right word?
Forced to acknowledge a House of Assembly with people who are before the courts, going to wig on a regular, if not frequent, basis. That's not what you were going to say, hey?
No.
My apologies.
You know, but see, And that's why I'm concerned.
Yeah.
The point is, this is why I'm concerned. And there is nobody who seems to be out there to defend us as a Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
One would assume it would be the prime minister, would be the minister to say, hey, for the sanctity of the Bahamian people and how they view these things as
to maintain the integrity of the systems,
yes,
that we have sworn to uphold.
Yes. They don't seem as if there is somebody who is a champion of that. And it seems that everything is a secret.
Who you thought was going to be the champion? I'll tell
I
you
who
I thought.
Who I thought.
I thought Fred Mitchell was going to be the champion of that. I honestly...
He's one of the champions. He speak out on certain things. Like I said, the key word is certain things. Certain things. But who's speaking on the rest of things? Once upon a time, you would have said Glennis Hannah Madden, but she don't be speaking on the
You didn't
things.
Feel that just now, eh? No. I felt Corinne Mitchell tugging on my ear from under the pear tree.
Yeah.
Let me go to the text line.
Go ahead.
Is it amazing? For 40-something years, we were operating VAT-free as an independent Bahamas. It makes me wonder, how did we do that?
I don't see why that's important. We now have VAT. See? I move on. But you don't want to have VAT no more?
No, we don't want to have VAT anymore.
But
I tell you why.
Go ahead.
I would like to have a number of taxes, right,
mm-hmm,
that were created to derive and direct revenue to specific areas.
That's a different issue.
Hold on. VAT was declared to be diverted to a specific thing, driving down the debt.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what's happening with the VAT money.
That's not what the text is saying. I appreciate what you were saying, but that's not what the text is saying.
What do you think the text is saying?
The text is saying we don't need VAT. Full stop.
No, I don't think that's what the text
is saying.
Read it again. That's not what the text
is saying. Read it again. Yeah, read it again. Let's see what the text is saying. No, add to it.
It says, is it amazing for 40-something years we were operating VAT-free as an independent Bahamas? It makes me wonder, how did we do that?
Yeah, see? They're saying, stop that. See, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you might need some controls and checks and balances, but not to stop that. The text is saying, stop that.
We need to reorganize VAT. They call it a regressive tax.
And reorganize all our taxes.
It all falls on the consumer, it falls on the
lowest
consumer. And like I tell you, it was fascinating that what happened during the VAT proposal process,
mm-hmm,
the formation of the Chamber of Commerce and the Federation of Employers.
Mm.
And I don't think people even saw what was happening, how the sector organized itself to protect its interests and then partnered with those who were best suited to protect each other's interests.
So let's conclude with that and say, what do?
You form civil society organizations,
mm-hmm,
right? You create substantive, real strategies,
mm-hmm,
and you put aside your political aspirations.
Well, that part ain't happening.
You put aside your fear of poverty and you work towards an actual common goal. Let's go run through the text lines dead quick.
Mm.
Aaron, please tell me what CA is saying about Michael Johnson being transferred to police headquarters is not true. Nassau can't be a real place. I mean, I read it. I was the one reading it. Aaron, good morning. You mean to tell me the minister still didn't declare? How long has it been? 2 years? Buddy, it's been years.
I don't expect him to ever
2011 is the last time outside of election declarations, which Mr. Munro thinks is sufficient to ignore everything else. Sound like they're not squeaky clean. No surprise. Aaron, why is this system such a joke? We are a real joke. Corruption at its finest. And we supposed to trust and believe what they say these people is make sick. Don't let them make you sick. Don't let them do that. Good morning to you both. Oh, my God, I am an outraged Bahamian this morning. This Michael Johnson thing is mind-boggling. Please, no income tax. Good morning, CA. You sure that's an accurate document you're sharing with the public? Because I see no signature from the commissioner. It's a fake document going around with transfers. Is it a question, CA? Just understanding. I didn't say stop that. It's a simple read. The texter said, this is mind-blowing. The man... thank you, texter. Producer, do we have time for that last call? Are we all out of time? Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds.
Good morning, Erin. Good morning, CA. Hey.
Good morning.
The information about Michael Johnson. I'm one again. I'm not a Bahamian. That has to be wrong. There has to be something wrong with that because you out here every day locking up criminals and even innocent persons. Some of them sit in jail until they are proven innocent. But yet you put this man back. That no. Something got to be wrong with that. Read that again, please.
Thank you, caller.
And I would like to reinforce that the chief superintendent is innocent until proven guilty. If the investigating prove that he was not involved, I am cool with that. But surely there needs to be a conclusion to the investigation.
And a public statement.
And some kind of transparency to say, based on what we have investigated, based on this evidence, we have concluded that it's insufficient evidence to go any further. Therefore, he will be reinstated. And then subsequently, you see memos coming up with transfer and whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not no transfer memos. And then there's no conclusion. Not the minister coming forward. By the way, we ain't planned. Maybe they ain't planned to even tell you what happened.
You see how many birthdays I have to celebrate just today?
Yeah.
That money I was raising for a commission of inquiry, I ain't gonna never make that money, man. I get too much gift to buy just today alone.
Yeah.
How much cookout that could take? Anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Erin Green. I really appreciate your texts. You guys have a great day and stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
While my mind asks a question, Lord, I wonder who it will be. You give your first piece of birthday cake to. Oh, Lord, my God, I pray that
this is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.